My life is freaking great. It's a cool life. I on my breaks, I would sit, like, because Mama wasn't there for 2 days. She had to come to New York, so I was home alone for 2 days. And I learned something really interesting. I lose weight better when she's not home. No, I did. The 2 days she wasn't home, I lost a pound each day. So I said, you know what? Because she feeds me, right? Even though she's feeding me healthy food, she feeds me. She's not there, I forget to eat. I just work until I start feeling cramps or something, and I'll go eat. So I said to her when she got back home, don't feed me. Just put the food in the refrigerator, whatever you make, or leave it on the stove. Let me find my way to it. Don't summon me. Don't bring me to it. That's not the point of the conversation. The point of the conversation is all week I was reminded, I know this sounds corny to people. I wish it wouldn't. I was reminded of when we didn't have a home. I was reminded of there was a time when it was a wife and three kids, and I would have gladly taken a one-room studio just to have a place to lay our head at night. And I remember saying, I don't care, we would all sleep in the same bed, I just need a place for my family. Like, and so much I want to say, I don't know how to say it that I know that you're effectively hearing me. So I'll just say it simple. Dreams in God do come true. Amen. They do. They do. And maybe right now, you may feel like it's taking forever, or it's not really happening, or it's not really working. Don't give up. Don't drop your faith. For it's not given to the swift or to the strong, but those who endure to the end. If you believe in God for anything, and you know that you believe in God according to his will, don't give up. Not only that, the scripture says, don't relax your hold. Don't settle. Don't let your spirit say, well, this is the best it gets. I'm just going to learn to live with it. Amen. Amen. Am I speaking to somebody today? Don't give up. Don't give up. For the vision is for appointed time. But though it tarry, wait for it, because in the end it will speak and not lie. I don't know who this is for today. But from the core of my heart, I'm living a life that once was a fairy tale or an impossible in my mind. I had never experienced it. I had never seen it. I had never seen anybody see it except on television shows. And to say that today, you know, when I walk from my studio and walk into my wife's studio. I call her kitchen her studio. That's her studio. That's her studio. That's where she goes. She makes her beats. And I'm going to tell you something. You laugh. She goes out more than me, but she stays in that kitchen as much as I stay in that studio. She lives in there. I'm telling you, she lives in there. I'm expected to come and find her sleeping up on the counter with a pillow. She lives in there. I have to sometimes come and say, like, are you going to sleep anytime? She lives in there. We even for the party, she's in the kitchen all day cooking this and cooking that. Taste this, taste that. I'm like, I thought we were getting caterers. Yeah, I gotta cook some of my own stuff. I'm like, so she's in there trying different things and different sauces, and she brings them and she says, taste that, try this. And I go, wow. This is her studio. And I said to her yesterday, was it day for yesterday, not yesterday, I think of Friday. And I said, are you happy here? And she gives me this look like I'm asking her a stupid question. I go, of course I am. I said, no. That's not the question I'm asking. I know you happy with your home. I know you happy with me. I know that. I know you happy. I said, happy like if we never got anything else in life. Are you happy where you are? She said, yeah. I said, I'm not saying this is the end of the journey for us at all. But it's something so powerful about being grateful where you are when you believe in God for the next thing. So I want to end this little dissertation by saying this. People give up and lose hope when they forget to be grateful for where they are. That's when you lose it. That's when you lose it. It's hard to have joy and confidence when you can't even enjoy what God's already done. You hear me?
Yes, sir.
Remember to be grateful. If there's things that bother you about your situation, look for the things to be grateful about and stop talking up those things and talk about them a lot. I said I was done, and I see she got the recording going, so she ain't hearing it this week. Go ahead, girl. I had this conversation this week, this revelation that hit me, because sometimes I get revelations that I need to give people when I'm talking to people or ministering to somebody else. And I was talking to Lindsay, and I was, you know, dealing with her about some things that she needed to check and change and correct, you know. And she started going, yeah, you know I got to work on this. And I'm praying God, I'm seeking God for this. And something hit my spirit that I never saw before. I said, you know what's interesting about you and a lot of females that I talk to? If I say to you, you need to work on this or that, the rest of the conversation for you becomes that. And I said, it's weird. You are like to build from your weaknesses. I build on my strengths and let them overpower my weaknesses. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? So like, and I said, I'm going to give you a case in point. And my wife laughed when I told her. If I go to a woman and say, you know, you look like you lost weight. You know what they'll say? Yeah, but I got this fat right here that I still got to work. They immediately will point out the part that ain't right. Penny, you did that last week, right? I said they will immediately point out what they don't have and what they need to work on and still acknowledging what they've achieved. Right? Rainey, welcome. She said, I lost 100 pounds. She don't say, well, I still got this thing here and I got this here. Right, as you focus on where you're going. Amen. People come to me and say, Pastor, you losing weight? I'm saying, oh, yeah, I lost another 2 pounds. Yeah, you see, yeah, I saw it in the picture. I don't be like, yeah, but my butt and my legs. And no. It's like, yeah, I'm still on my way to somewhere. That's a point. And I'm using that to motivate me toward where I'm going, not to sit down and go, yeah, I know, but still rough sometime. Well, then that's your focus. And if you remember the message when I talked about put your finger in front of your face, the thing that you focus on is the thing you head toward. If you're driving down the road in your car and you look this way, before you know it, your car is going that way.
Right.
Focus where you're going. Focus on your strengths. We have strengths. What are your strengths? I'm good at this. Do you realize in the past year, when I stopped standing up here and I started saying, after I saw the Chappelle thing, yo, I'm dope, nigga. This is what I do. Like, everything changed. My focus became, whatever that is. Yeah, whatever. You see these people, they become superstars and then they wind up drug killing themselves. They weren't perfect. They still made it. They focused on their strengths. Grow your strengths. That's the word. Grow your strengths. Where are you solid in God? Where are you strong in God? We're going to find a way to infuse this into the word so people get it. Focus on your strengths. Let your strengths overshine your weaknesses. Just let that keep running and then hit the other one. So you have the audio and the video. Just now you can just start the video. Amen. Yep, that's right. So that's to be the bonus audio footage. Put it up, put it on the podcast just like that. Mm-hmm. Did you receive something? So the scripture says, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are loving, whatsoever things are good, report, if there be virtue and praise, think on those things. I started years ago telling you guys that perspective was 90% to 95% of this whole walk. It is. If you should speak to the mountains, say, be thou removed, and not doubt in your heart, but believe those things that you say shall come to pass. You shall have whatsoever, who says? Not God? Huge. Huge. You shall have whatever you say. So if you say what God says, imagine how powerful that is. Because now you got two in agreement. You're going to catch that later, or you're going to catch it today? Okay, so with that said, the greatest gift that God gave us is a gift that we kind of overlook. Are you listening to me? The gift of creation. You're made in God's image and God's likeness. Jesus even said, the works that I do, you should do also. And greater works than these should you do. So we have a gift of creation. We are creators. We're supposed to be like the Father. We're supposed to create like the Father. How does the Father create? Good students. I'm loving you today. Gold stars for all of you. By speaking. But we neglect the speaking gift. We misuse it. We abuse it. We let people teach us to use it wrong and talk about negative things and focus on things that we shouldn't be talking about. And we use it to conjugate. Convolute. When you're creating something. Conjure up. Thank you. Conjure up images and spirits that we really don't want in our life. Then we spend our life rebuking devils that we've conjured through our conversation. Rebuking and praying against things that we've created with our own mouth and imagination. You're bearing witness right now, right? And most of that bad behavior, most of us learning in church. So we speak these things. We speak these dishonorable things. We speak against the word of God ignorantly, trying to be godly. So, when we started going through this chapter about protecting the seed, the thing I was trying to get through the whole message was the seed is sown in your heart. Farm went out to sow the seed. Some fell here, some fell there, some here. I won't go through all that. You understand? The good ground, bad ground, stony ground, thorny ground. Roadside. That seed that's tossed from God to you, are you the seed or are you the ground? That's a question. Who says seed? Who says ground? Who ain't trying to say nothing because they don't want to be wrong? Who says seed? It's the ground. Who says ground? Right. You are the ground. You're not the seed. God sows the seed, and it picks the ground that it lands in. You're either good ground, stony, thorny, whatever. You're the ground. That means, you ready? You ready?
Yes.
Well, you know, Pastor, you better at this than me. Well, I know, but you know this more than me. Now, he didn't know. The determination of the ground is we're all ground.
Right.
Only one of them was not ground. Do you remember?
Yeah.
Which one is that?
Roadside.
The roadside, the wayside. That's not ground. That's concrete or whatever. Nothing's going to grow on that.
Right.
Nothing's going to come of that. So you can be non-ground also. So who determines what kind of ground you are? Wow. Okay, so we all know this. So you can choose in an instant what kind of ground you're going to be. So now that we've all accepted and admitted that we are the ground, let me ask you another question. You ready? You sure? What kind of ground are you? What kind of ground are you? What kind of ground are you? We just acknowledge that you get to choose the ground you are. You see what I'm doing? This mouth that we use to pollute so much. Well, I'm not as good ground as you, Pastor. That's what people say to me all the time. They don't realize that that's what they're saying. Yeah, I know, but you know that's easier for you, but you know you. So basically you're saying I'm better ground than you, but you saying it. I didn't say it. I've never told any of you lesser ground than me. You'll come back at me and tell me y'all. So let's try one more time. Are you seed or are you ground?
Ground.
Who sows the seed?
God
sows the seed into the ground, and you are the ground. And what kind of ground are you?
Good ground.
And good ground does what? It produces, it increases. 30, 60, 100-fold increase. Okay, well, come on now.
Yes.
We need to talk about what kind of ground we are and what we're expecting.
Amen.
It yield. It produce. Not just once. 30, then it grows and it produces 60. Then it grows, it produces 100. Let's break that down a little bit. Have you ever grown a seed-bearing plant?
Yes.
How many say yes? What's the beauty of growing a seed-bearing plant? All of that. Everybody's correct. Give yourself a hand. Everybody was right. Right? It grows, it spits out its own seed, and the next time it grows, it comes back more. And then it spits out its own seeds, and the next time it comes back more. So toward the end of the year, our basil plant was dying because we went away and it got neglected, and I put it outside and it got scorched or whatever. So there's these little flowers that grow on it. And I snipped all the little flowers off. And Angie was going to throw them away. I was like, no. The seed is in there. So I took them and I put them all in a paper towel. And I folded the paper towel and I put them on the side. Just left it there. We came back about a week or two later, and there's a whole bunch of little black, when you pick up the stems, there's all these little black seeds laying all in the bottom of the paper towel. And I said, see, that's not garbage. That's seed. She said, oh, I didn't know that. And I took them, and I just ripped all the old stuff out the pot. That's what I said. Don't try to keep your old junk that's finished growing. Rip it out and throw it away. And I put the seed in the pot and spread it out and covered it and put in, and within days, it's like, it went from 3 stalks to like about 15. And next year, if I do the same thing, it went from 1 to 20, and then be 60, 30, 60, 100-fold. It keeps producing. You keep dropping seed. You're not hearing me. Because we look for those plants that just shoot up one plant, and we say, oh, that's a pretty plant. But a seed-bearing plant will recreate itself. That other plant, once it dies, is garbage. Throw it out. It's done. Oh, I love flowers. Yeah, but those are snipped. You came in with a bouquet today. You're going to enjoy those for a few days. And you stick them in some water and try to make them last. But you know, inevitably, the garbage can is where they're going. Unless you're going to turn them into mulch and try to plant some other plant with it. You know, it is what it is. It's going to go away. So he said we're ground. And we acknowledge that we're good ground. And that good ground reproduces. So where are you dropping seed then so that you can have more the next time around? Are you catching this? Message is about protecting the seed. She was going to throw the seed away. She thought it was garbage. It was that stuff I clipped off the plant. I said, no. Don't throw that away. I know what's there. Now, I had never taken the thing and put it in a napkin and let the seed separate. I usually would take the whole flower bud and just jam it down in the dirt. This time, I just, you know, I experimented. I said, let me leave it there for a while and see what happens. But while the last basil was growing full and strong, I plucked a lot of the leaves, I put them in a tray, I put a napkin over it, and I let them dry up. So she has this big full jar while the new ones are growing in the closet of dried basil. Freshly grown dried basil. If you haven't figured it out yet, I love basil. So I grow basil. I always have, she'll cook some and say, you didn't put no basil in this. Listen, it's up to me. Basil tea, I've done it. Iced tea, sweet. Basil ice cream, basil anything. I like basil. I like mint. I like basil. And I like it fresh. I don't like store stuff. I'm giving you this for a reason. We all have seed. A lot of us pluck from it, but we don't know how to let it reproduce. So I just asked you, what kind of ground are you? Everybody said, good ground. Then I expect you to understand, are you listening to me?
Yes.
Are you listening to me?
Yes.
What's expected of good ground? Just saying it because it's the church thing to say is not what we do here. Oh, I'm good ground. Hallelujah. Yeah. Well, then what is it? Do your research and get back to me and let me know what good ground is and what the purpose is for good ground. Because a good ground takes the seed that God gives it and it increases. Some 30, some 60, some 100. He says, see, only some is going to get 30, only some. No. That means the sum of, not some of you only going to have this and some of you going to only have that. Sum means the total. A sum total of 30, some total of 60, some total of 100. As it grows and it's better, and you have to every so often, especially with a plant, you have to put stuff in it. What's it called?
Fertilizer.
What does fertilizer do? It grows it. It gives it the, but how does it grow it? It feeds. Yeah, see, I'm loving y'all today. Yeah, you sit there and look at me all dumb. You're answering and everything, all in it. Yes. Hercules, Hercules. Now, it fertilizes it, meaning it puts the nutrients back in the soil, because after a while, if you keep pulling from the soil becomes barren and no longer has the nutrients to reproduce. Cycle of life. I'm not going to sing the song, but here we go. Or circle of life. What is fertilizer? What is fertilizer in this situation? What is it? Thank you, Edwidge. It's poopy. It's dookie. It's waste. It's not food. If it is, go eat some fertilizer. Okay? No, it's waste. You're missing it. You're missing it. You're missing it. Gather up the fragments that nothing be wasted. So even the poop in your life can feed the next cycle of harvest. You got lost. It's doodle. It's poop. It's waste. But you put it back in the ground to give life to the new growth. So even the stuff that looks like poop to you, or is poop to you, you can put back in the situation as fertilizer. Some people get so caught up in their poop that they don't go further than poop. Everybody poops. Everybody makes a mistake. Everybody fumbles. Everybody gets something wrong. Listen to what I'm about to say. Let me preach. This is what I'm about to say. It's food, though. What she said is correct. But when we look at it as learning, we look at it as this negative thing that if we remember that, maybe we'll know not to do it again. You're going to poop again. It's going to happen. It's looking at it is not going to make you not do it. It's going to happen again. So no, it's nutrients. I don't stare at it. I use it. Yeah. You're not getting it. Yeah. I don't stare at it. I replant it. It becomes this next, the foundation stone for the next phase of my life. I don't want to learn from my failures. I want to learn from my victories. Using the failures as foundation to do so. No, you didn't catch it. Some of you didn't catch it. Because when you say, I want to learn from my failures, what that means to a lot of people is let's just focus on the failures so that we know what not to do. Yeah. Instead of focusing on what to do, you want to spend your life focusing on what not to do. Mm-hmm. You know what you're going to be real good at? What not to do. Yeah. What do you do? That's why when you come to me and you say, I went through this and this went wrong, this went bad, I say, okay, so I understand. What are we going to do now? And some of you get so irritated with me. I say, okay, so now what? What do we do now? No, but you didn't let me finish telling you. I heard it. I heard it in the first 3 minutes of the conversation. What do we do now? You protect your seed by keeping your seed in the place to grow. Not by dwelling on the shortcomings of the ground. You keep planting. You sow the seed. And you sow some more. And then you fertilize the ground with the mistakes. And then you sow again. But the key to success, are you listening? If you're saying you're good ground, you're all agreed that you are, then you must continue to sow. You didn't hear it. This is not an offering message. This is about the cycle of your life. If we continue to focus on our failures, we will never grow our strengths. Got it? Oh, I could talk a little louder. Turn it up a little bit for her. She says she her ears, in the name of Jesus, ears open up then. So she needs to hear. Amen. Now, we're going to go forward from where we left off in Psalms 25. I think we ended at 9. I'm going to pick it up from 8, and we're going to go through all the other stuff you got to go back and do. I'm not going to go all the way back this time. We're too far in to go back. So he says, the Lord instructs. You know, remember he said in 7, do not remember the rebellious ways of my youth when we were going forward. Right? So he's saying, God, focus on me from your goodness, not from mine. He was saying to God, don't focus on my failures, please. Somebody called me this week and told me, you know, I was praying to God, and something you said in the message stuck with me. I realized I wanted to ask God to have mercy on me for my shortcomings, but it dawned on me what you said, but I also didn't want to thought how good I thought I was. But I wanted God to just focus on me from his mercy and not from my supposed good or wrongs. Now, has that helped anybody else in here? Yes? God, help me according to your mercy. Don't judge me according to how good or how bad I think I am. No, I don't know if you're listening to that. Because that's a good place to be. I don't ever want to get before God and try to tell God how good I am. Like I said, then he'll start to show you, oh, you want to talk about that? Well, let's talk about the stuff you didn't do. And if he don't, the devil will say it for sure, because he's the accuser of the brother. So I don't ever want to be judged on my own merits. I want to be judged by God's faithfulness and goodness. And the people said, amen. Amen. Okay, so moving on, he said, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in their way. He guides the humble in what is right. I'm reading from the NIV today. I'm usually doing the King James, but I'm doing NIV today for the sake of going forward. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful. I want just to look at this. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful to those who keep the demands of his covenant. And we went hard into covenant last week and what a covenant is and why God looks and judges us according to, do we have a covenant understanding of our relationship with God? I'm going to touch on that a little bit again today, and then we're going to move forward. Do you remember what a covenant is? What is it? An arrangement? Go ahead. One at a time. So go ahead. Arrangement, I heard. Go ahead. An agreement? Go ahead. A contract? Go ahead. A what? A pledge? Yes. Go ahead. You can't steal all of them. You're leaving out one. Go ahead. A vow. Good. We're getting closer. Yes. A conversation. It is an old agreement, a conversation. You're missing one. The relationship is getting closer. It's a relationship. But the main purpose of the covenant is, huh? It is a promise. It's a union. All of this stuff is right. Nobody's wrong yet. But it's one thing that you're, the main point that you're not getting. Who said it? Exchange. Who said exchange? That she got it. You left exchange. It's exchange of personality and possession. Remember? You forgot that. That's the huge thing. Covenant is, I cover your weaknesses with my strength and you cover my weaknesses with your strengths. What I lack, you fulfill, and what you lack, I fulfill. Remember? So that means if we're in covenant with God, and he said he's a covenant keeping God for 1,000 generations, God is saying to you, I'm willing to cover your weaknesses with my strengths. Out of all the stuff, that's the thing that stuck with me. possessions, personality. And remember I said, well, God, I got the better of the deal. Because I don't have much to give you, but you have a lot to give me. Well, what did I say we do have that God uses and needs? Our humanity. He gave the earth to man. Satan got in through man, and he deceived man to fall away. And so enemy runs the earth now and controls the earth through man through the covenant. When people say the devil's doing this, God is doing this, like everything is being done through man. Being either submitted to God or submitted to the enemy, either way, it's done through man. Now, the devil did this. The devil didn't fly no planes into no buildings. A man in submission to the enemy did that. And that's why, again, he said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I would hear from heaven and heal the land. So God is like saying, no, you both have us pigeonholed because we got to be surrendered to the will of man because God gave man authority on the earth. See, this is a conversation church folk don't like to have. Well, if it's the Lord's will, it won't happen. That's not scripturally correct. That's religion. That's not scripturally. See, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Book of Genesis, chapter 1. Then he said to the council, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. So we got two things we're dealing with. I'm going to bring this up again. I've said it before, but I'll say it again. Our image is in correct English. Our likeness is in correct English, but it's not incorrect in the Hebrew. He said in the Elohim, the triune God, the three in one, our should be images in English. We said our, us, one image, our plural, one likeness. Then he said, and that he would be fruitful and multiply, and then the next word. And have what? Dominion. And have what? Dominion. And what is dominion? Control, kingship, rulership, lordship. So when God created the earth, he gave man the lease. Satan immediately went to work and said, aha, if I can get the man to commit treason against God, I can get the lease. So he did what he did. He got the lease. Then he started doing his little thing. And God said, well, I'm going to get the lease back. How am I going to get the lease back? Well, it has to be done through man. So the seed of sin, the seed, was come from the man. And he said the seed of woman should put bruise his head. A lot of people miss that. When he's talking about the Lord, he said, and her seed should bruise his head. Women don't have the seed. Women have the egg. Man has the seed. But he said the seed of the woman. Because God cut off the natural generation by impregnating Mary through the Spirit, that she had a child that was born of a woman that did not have the seed or the sin nature of the man. Now it gets deep because people don't understand that Jesus story because there's so much more to it. Oh, Jesus, he came and he walked up and he made fish. People miss the whole foundation of it. So now there's this agent in disguise walking around that is totally the seed of God, egg of the woman, in nature of man, walking the earth, and the enemy says he's doing the will of God like the prophets and like all the other prophets, most of them were put to death. He said, Satan said, I'm going to kill this one too. Now, you got to understand the depth of this, because he set out to have him killed from a baby. That's what that whole thing was, get the baby up in the middle of the night and take him into where? Take him out of there, because he knows where he is. Send him into Egypt, let him go up there. So Jesus was sent into the hood. I know he was sent into the hood, because when they said he was from Galilee, the question they said was, does anything good come out of Galilee? They clearly said that, like, wait, Galilee? There's nothing good in Galilee. Ain't that where them N-words live? They ain't seen nothing Galilee. They ain't no good out of Galilee. So he was hidden. So when he came after him and finally thought he had him and had him put to death, the reality hit him. The penalty is now paid, because you killed what you thought was a man. And the scripture said if he had known who he was, he would have never crucified the Son of Glory. What he was saying was, if he knew that he was screwing up his lease, he would have never done it. Right. And now his lease is broken. Now in authority, you're not listening. Now in the authority, you're not listening. Now in the authority, the dominion, you're not listening, is given back to you through him. So if all you do is go to church and say, I just pray and believe for Jesus, and you don't step out in your authority, you just wasting oxygen. You just might as well go ahead and die and go to heaven, because you probably do better there, because you're not serving much of a purpose here. But that's what the enemy teaches us through church. Well, you know, you got to go through it. And, you know, hardship's going to follow you. So you don't ever become what God called you to be here. You've been given dominion. The dominion has been given back to you. Now, he said, our covenant is back to where it used to be. You draw from me. I use you. You do my will. And I get to do what I need to do and want to do on this earth. Yeah. Through you. The renewed leaseholder. Yeah. Yeah, you don't get that. Yeah. The renewed leaseholder. Right. You just all sat there and said, you're good ground. Yeah. I'm trying to help you understand what kind of ground you are. Yeah. You're not just the ground. You own the ground.
Just got a whole history left, Lester.
But that's why this covenant is important. Now we're back in the exchange. Whew.
For the sake of your name, Lord, forgive my iniquities, though it is great. Who then are those who fear the Lord? Now, let's take that verse and let's have a little fun with it. I'm going to go back to the King James. And I want to talk about those who fear the Lord. There are two definitions in the Hebrew for the word fear. One has to do with terror, and one has to do with respect or reverential awe. Which one do you think this is? See, there's fear of the dark, which is really unfounded. It's just a spiritual fear based on no real reality. But then there's the fear or the reverence that you have toward your parents. Most of you are now big enough that you can take your parents. But the respect and the awe and the reverence you have for them, you ain't going to try it. You wouldn't try it. I try to stay big enough so my kids can't take me. It fit enough. But my point is, and I still say, yeah, you could try it if you want. And you get that look, and you're like, please don't let them try, because I might not win. But you still want to base up in their face and act like you can handle yourself. You, some of us know it wouldn't go well. I don't want to run into my 28-year-old and try to go dukes with them.
But he respects me. He honors me. He has a reverential fear of me. That when I say to him, you need to stop doing that, he still stands at attention. He says, I'm listening. He don't have to listen. He can say, I'm a grown man. I do what I want to do, like some people do, and screw you, and you don't tell me what to do. But he doesn't, because he has a reverential fear of me. It's an honor involved. Remember, we had this whole conversation on honor last week. It's an honor involved that he says, I'm going to hear you out. I want your opinion. Your opinion has been good in the past. I want your opinion today. So he's talking about those who are in the place where they fear the Lord. Who is the man who fears the Lord? Listening? Him shall he teach in the way that he should choose. Whew. How many of you want God to teach you how to choose? He said, the one who reverentially fears the Lord, God will show you how to choose. How does that work? Well, most of us make choices, and then we pray for God to bless our choices. I ask God to choose, or to show me how to choose wisely, instead of just going ahead and make a mess. I used to just make the mess and say, God bless my mess, please. You know, you work all things together for the good. Come on, work it together for the good. God's like, sooner or later, you should not want stuff to be worked together for the good. You should want it to start out good. I don't know about you, but that is so much better. I don't want to learn from my mistakes. I want to learn from yours. Every time you'll come and tell me the dumb stuff you'll do, I'm like, oh, I ain't doing that. Well, thank you for telling me that. I won't do that. So, one of the big things, I'm just going to take a quick side journey, and then we're going to go back in. One of the big things I get regularly is this. People come to me a lot for business advice. God has blessed me in the area of business, and I've done very well, and I will continue to do well. Amen. And so people will come to me with these great business ideas. And they'll sit down, and their eyes will get big, and they'll just begin to talk. And after about 3 minutes of listening to it, I realized this is not a business idea at all. This is just some excitement that they felt and thought about and saw and got a, you know, a glimpse of. And they're there now sharing, watch what I'm saying to them. Watch what I'm saying to you. Listen to me. They're sharing a dream with me. Not a bad thing, but a dream. Notice I didn't say a vision. It's not even a vision yet. It's a dream. And they're excited about it. Ooh, guess what? Now, because I have business background and because I understand business and business dealings, I start asking those Shark Tank questions. You know what that's like, right? I start asking those questions. And as the conversation goes on, the excitement level comes down, 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 down. And I was like, I'm not trying to pee-pee on your parade. I'm just trying to say to you, you're asking me to invest in something that is nothing but a high-minded dream. I have a problem with dreamers. I like dreamers, but I have a problem with dreamers. Dreamers usually don't have the tendency to wake up and deal with the reality of things. Because are you listening to me? I'm just going on this journey, but I want you to take this. There's the dream state of everything when God gives it to you. But then if wisdom and knowledge is not applied, it's an empty dream. When God's wisdom and knowledge is applied and you bring it down into this realm where it works practically, see, in the dream, everything works right. No, you're not listening to me. In the dream, it all works right. I'm going to sing this song. I'm going to put it on the radio. Next thing you know, I'm going to be on the Tonight Show. I'm going to be a superstar, and I'm going to have limousines. Nothing goes wrong in that, in the dream. But then when you have to bring it to the real world where there's rejection and where there's a million other people that got that same thing you got, and you have to have something that separates you from everybody else, or it's just an idea, this is where most people die. That's where the graveyard is full, the living graveyard of people that had a bunch of broken dreams. But when you take it before the Lord and he directs you in his way. And now that dream gets seasoned and sauteed in all the wonderful things of God, wisdom and knowledge and understanding. That dream moves from the realm of dream and becomes vision. And vision you can build on. Dream you can't. So people come to me and say, I have this vision of this. I'm like, nope, that's a dream. Well, I got this product. No, that's not a product. It's not a product. That's a concept. A product, if I can take it and sell it. A concept is you can show it to me, but you can't sell it to nobody else. See. I know I'm having a business meeting on you right now. Let me come out of college. Let me just go back to the message because you're looking at me all dumb now. We was rolling before. So let me just leave that alone. But if that helped anybody, feel free to keep that. So he said, the man who fears the Lord, him he will teach him in the way that he should choose. In the way that you should choose. What is it to choose? Just simply put, right? To choose is to pick one thing over another. So a better explanation, right? It is to make a choice, but it is to make a choice. Listen to what I'm about to say. Simple stuff that we just overlook. It's to make a choice negating or neglecting the others. You're going to catch it. You're going to catch it. You're going to catch it. Some of you didn't catch it. I know you didn't. Most believers don't choose. They select. Yeah, I'm sure I'm going to explain it, but I want to see you look a little crazy for a minute. Yeah, it's a difference. A selection, you have a choice of things to select. If I hold my cards in front of you and say, pick a card, pick any card, and you select the card, and then you say, I don't want that card. Can I have another one? I don't want that. Oh, I don't want that another one. When you go to a buffet, you select. Then you come back and you select some more. Then you come back and you select some more. In a choice, you pick one thing and everything else is gone. You don't flip and flop and change your mind and change your directions when the rubber gets hard and things get tough and it don't look like it's going your way. Then all of a sudden you got a new vision. And church people come to me like that all the time. You got a vision from God. I speak to you next week. You got another vision. I spoke to you. You got another vision. I'm like, okay, you just had a buffet with God. You haven't chose anything. You haven't set your face like flint toward nothing. Everything you're doing is by random choice. And you try it, and you try it for a little while, and then you get frustrated, and you drop it, and you try something else. But if God shows you what to choose, then you choose something, and everything else goes bye-bye. And you stay on that choice. The message is about protecting your seed. It's not all the stuff that you're trying. Either you're doing it or you're not. And I realized for a good point of my life, the things that I was successful in, I shared a couple of weeks ago, was the things that I chose. And the things that I tried was always coming in the Lord's time. And the Lord said, ain't nothing to do with my time. You ain't make a decision yet that we're doing it. That went still. Some of y'all didn't get that. Some of us in here believing for healing. And we haven't decided yet that we're being healed. We've selected healing amongst the other various options that exist in hopes that that horse comes in and wins. Come on, healing. Come on, I put my money, put some money on healing. Come on. The man who found the seed of great price said he sold everything he had and he put his whole investment on that thing. I'm putting, it's this or it's nothing. I'm betting the bank. I'm not telling people to make no choices that I say, because you can't go out on my faith. It's got to be your own faith. But I'm saying you need to build it up to the point, 30, 60, 100-fold. You need to build up to the point that you can say, right here in this area, I'm going all in. Is anybody with me today?
Yes.
So there was those areas of my life that I said, you know, I would really like. God, I really would appreciate it. God. I don't like trying to talk about my weight and stuff because I'm not trying to impress nobody. I'm really not. I'm trying to be helpful. You were all here when I came in that week and told you I passed out and went to the doctor and found out that I had ridiculously high blood pressure. And I stood in front of you guys and I made a vow. I said, I'm doing this. Do you remember what it was? What was it? You say, mm-hmm, and nobody said nothing. The bad eating, the high blood pressure, and that's right. And I said, I was not going to take them drugs, right? I took the drugs for two weeks, and I threw them away. I said, after that, it's just to get the pressure down. I said, I'm not going to do drugs, and I'm going to get the weight off. I told all of you that for a reason. You're looking at me now, and you still fat, nigga. Like, what's up? You may not say it, but I was going to get that look. I got to be an example in front of you. I got to practice what I preach. I'm 22 pounds in already. I dropped 22 pounds now. I haven't had high blood pressure since, and ain't going to have it again. But I had to commit to that. I've tried a lot of diets over the years. Dropped the weight and put it back on. Dropped it for a few weeks. Took some pictures real quick. So I can have that picture. What I did, I just wanted to put that picture up online so people think I still look like that. You know. I had a picture up on my LinkedIn that was like 10 years old. Like, dude, you look nothing like that. And Lizzie would say, you need to put a new picture on Instagram. I'm like, mm-mm. I mean, LinkedIn, Now I put a new picture up there last week. Yeah, because I had to do something. And even when I was trying to act like I didn't have to do something, I knew I had to make a decision. So what I had to do is say, God, I don't want to do another of these crash diets. Show me how to have a lifestyle change. And then I said, and I'm doing it. And he guided me in a way to go. That's worked for me. It's not a diet. I'm not on a diet. This is my lifestyle. It's the way I eat. I love it. I don't see myself ever doing it again. I'm like, where have you been my whole life? My point is this. God directs you and guides you in a choice. In selections, God is with you, but you haven't committed to anything. So there's no anointing to go forward to support you in a decision. We good now? Let's bring this home then. Are you learning something? Say amen.
Amen.
Good. I love that. He teaches me in what to choose. I don't want him teaching me after I select. I want him to teach me how to choose. How many people agree?
Amen.
Say, Lord,
teach me
to choose correctly.
Correctly.
How many are you saying just from that, like, yeah, my life would have been a lot easier if I had been praying that all along?
Right.
Teach me to choose correctly. His soul shall dwell at ease. Let's read this again. What man is it that fears the Lord? Him, that man who fears the Lord or honors the Lord, he shall teach him in the way he should choose. His soul should dwell at ease. And his seed, come on, stay with me. We're protecting the seed. Shall inherit the earth. You ain't hear me. So All the church teaching that says it's supposed to be hard and you're supposed to go through hell and all of this stuff and God let you go through that for a reason. This one verse, I've showed you many, but this is one more verse that just shoots that straight to hell, literally where it belongs, in hell. He said his soul should dwell at ease. How many of your souls is dwelling at ease? I'll put my hand up if none of you don't, because mine is at good ease. He said, this man who fears the Lord and allows the Lord to teach him how to choose will live a life of ease. His soul will be at peace. See, church folk get quiet then. Listen, you don't have to receive it. I receive it for me. Y'all can go through all the hell you want. If you need some extra ones, I'll tell Satan, if he brings any to me, to go visit you. She said, no, thank you. So what is ease? Let's see. We got to do this stuff. It's pronounced tob in Hebrew. The word ease. You ready? In the widest sense, is used like a noun, both in the masculine and the feminine, which is huge. Singular and plural. I didn't get to the definition yet. I'm just breaking down the description of how this word is used in this sentence. A good man or woman, the good or the goods, the things of a man or a woman, also as an adverb, beautiful, best, better, bountiful, at ease, fair, favor, fine, glad, good, gracious, joyful, kindly, kindness, like, loving. Are you listening? Pleasant, the most, pleasure, precious, prosperity, ready, sweet, wealth, and welfare. That's a drop the mic moment. I don't care what church told you. This is what the Bible God says he wants for you. The Bible God. The real Bible God. Not the church God. Rachel looked like, what? The Bible God? The real Bible God. Not the church God. It's two different gods. I tell people all the time, they say, I serve Jesus. And they start telling me this stuff. I'm like, you mean Jesus, right? You don't mean Yahshua. Because what you're describing don't sound nothing like the one I know. Let's read it again now. Who is the man, or what man fears the Lord? Him, he will teach him in the way to choose, and his soul should dwell at all of those words I just said. Some of you would be happy just with two of those. All of those. Pleasant, good, agreeable. Pleasant to the highest nature, good, excellent, the best of its kind. Good, rich, and valuable in estimation. Good, appropriate to becoming better. Comparative, glad, happy, prosperous. Of good understanding, intellectual nature, good and kind, benign. Do you see that there's no suffering, hardship, anything in this? He said your soul will dwell at ease. That's why in the New Testament he was saying, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul is at ease. Amen. Amen. Let's talk about your soul. What is your soul? What is your soul? Your mind. So see, you're from a house that knows something, right? Your soul is not your spirit, right? Your soul is your emotions, your mind. Let's break it down. Let's break it down from the Hebrew. It's pronounced, and we went over this before, nephesh. Fesh, whatever. I'm not Hebrew. I'm doing the best I can. So your soul should be at ease. Here's your soul. Your soul is yourself, your life, creature, your person, your appetite, your mind, your living being, your desire, your emotions, your passions, that which breathes, the breathing substance or the being of the soul, the inner man or the inner of a man, the living being with life in blood, in the blood, not in the blood of Jesus, but living being in the blood, the man himself, the person, the individual, we cover this, your seats of appetite, the seats of your emotions and passions, the activity of your mind, the activity of your will, the activity of your character. So this is not your spirit. It's not, you know, people use in church spirit and soul as if it's the same word. It's absolutely not. Your spirit is the life that comes down into you from heaven, and when you die, it leaves you. Your soul is your intellect or the part of your body that connects to this earth, to your mind, your reason, your will, your emotions, your choices, your decisions. The soul is the part that's given to a man that makes the man have the ability to make his own decisions to follow God or not. It makes a man a God in his own right. The soul is the thing that gives you the, if you were soulless, you would be mindless. You just do whatever you needed to do instinctively by the Spirit, and probably a lot of us would be a lot better off. But the truth of the matter is, God gave the man a soul because God wanted man to be surrendered to him, not because he had to, but because he wanted to. Okay. Right. Pretty much he took, you need to go? Okay. Thank you, honey. He gave the man in his image and his likeness, taking a chance on man pretty much, knowing even though he knew what man would do. Because scripture said, Christ he called Christ before the foundation of the earth. So he knew man was going to screw it up. But he gave man a free will. And that's what makes a man like God. You don't have to listen to God. You can do whatever you want to do. Animals obey him. If he tell them to do this and don't do this, they won't do it. Man can say, I do what I want to do. So we're talking about your living being with blood. Watch this. She'll dwell at ease. And this is a good place to wrap it up. Why? Because I've had people say to me, they try to disagree with me, that no, it says your swell cell will dwell at ease. He's talking about, you know, your spiritual being in the Lord. I'm like, your soul is in the earth. Your spirit is what's saved. Because I've heard people say, save your soul. That's in songs and stuff. Your soul saved means your soul being delivered in the earth from the way you look at things. Your spirit is what's born again, not your soul. When you leave this planet, you have no longer a need for your soul in its entirety. You may have some memories, but you don't have your soul. That's an earthly vessel. Your spirit is different. So with that said, he said your soul, your earthly creation should be at ease. Prosperous, plenteous, peaceful. I ain't talking about prospering a bunch of money and stuff. We can have that too. But if money makes you happy, then you're messed up. You should be provided for. And I have any problem with anybody prospering. God has prospered me. I ain't got no problem with prosperity at all. I'm saying, though, that should not be where your happiness comes from. That should just be a part of it. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. So all the stuff being added should be just that, added. But your soul being at rest and peace and full of joy and peace and prosperous in every way, which we just read, which we're going to read again next week. Let me tell you something, and you should study it when you get home. That's huge. That means anything that tries to come at you that's contrary to that, you don't have to sign for that package. You do because you've been taught to, but you don't have to. You're not supposed to. That's not God's plan for you to sign for that package. Did you learn something? Did you learn something?
Yes.
Amen.